Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Have you ever found yourself engaged in an interaction with one of your animals and you can't really remember how it got started, but there it was, and then you tried to figure out how it got started and perhaps how to stop it? I find that cats are particularly good at luring us into these interactions. Bamboo, my cat, and I are currently involved in one of these interactions. Because he's gotten to the age where his caloric requirements aren't as high as they were before, and also because he's decided that he doesn't like to go out unless the weather is perfect now that he's older, I've started to pay more attention to how much he eats. As a result, I don't keep the dish filled to the top with dry food like I used to in the past. Instead, I give him a measured amount twice a day. What's interesting about this is that he's very much aware of whether or not there is food in the bowl, and that this has nothing to do with whether or not he's hungry. How do I know this? I know this because when the bowl is empty, he yells at me. He has this very loud, annoying meow that he probably owes to some Siamese ancestor who knows when. And the only time I hear him use it is when the bowl is empty. Because I found it so annoying, I didn't give him food when he did it. I knew the danger of doing that. I mean, if you want to teach a cat to scream at you or a dog to bark, all you have to do is give that animal food to reward that behavior. And because animals are smart, they will quickly learn to use that same behavior for other, sometimes even more annoying situations. I didn't want to go there. His Siamese scream is bad enough when I'm awake without having him do it at, for example, 1 a.m. in the morning because he can't find his little toy mouse. So hoping to beat him at his own psychological game, I created a system whereby if his bowl is empty, I wait until he's distracted doing something else, and then while he's distracted, I give him the measured amount of food. Sometimes he's playing with a dog, sometimes he's sleeping on the windowsill, other times he's outside, making a tour around the yard to make sure that everything is as it should be. When he comes in, he immediately jumps up on the counter and checks out the food dish. Now, it would be easy to think that he does this because he's hungry. But in fact, that's not the case. More often than not, he jumps up on the counter, looks in the bowl, assures himself there's food in it, maybe takes a piece or two, and then he jumps down and does whatever he feels like doing. So this whole thing, this whole yelling thing, has nothing to do with him being hungry. It has to do with his bowl not having food in it at all times. And I suppose I could get around this if I took the measured amount of food I wanted him to have and doled it out in little increments throughout the day. But frankly, I don't have the time for that. And even if I did, I know doggone well that when I'm traveling, the friend who takes care of him for me isn't going to be able to do that. So the behavior, his behavior, my behavior, has become a game. I'm the first to admit that the first time he yelled at me, I took it personally. I found it extremely annoying, and I felt irrationally, I admit, that he wanted to turn me into a cat maid, and I had no intention of allowing him to do that. But as time has gone on, And as I've realized that this has nothing to do with him being hungry, it's simply another one of those wondrous feline ways that he has come up with to add a little spice to his life and mine. When I look at it from that perspective, what started out as something annoying, and perhaps annoying to both of us, has turned into something more. It's turned into a celebration of our unique relationship and the crazy things that we do with each other that perhaps would embarrass us if those of our own species knew about it and weren't particularly understanding. I have no idea what his feline friends think, and I can only hope that anyone who listens to this podcast doesn't think ill of me for engaging in these types of activities. I find them fascinating, and I think my cat does too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.